from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's going to try to bring you some textbook lulls and pointless meanders. Even though I didn't write the textbook on lulls and pointless meanders, I may have misplaced it or put it under a leg of a chair or said, wait, is that a, oh no, that's a different textbook. It just felt like that. Anyway, if I'm confusing you already, then you're in the right place because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And hey, before we go on here, I just want to say that this show is really built to create a safe place for you to fall asleep because I know how it feels because I try to look at things and say, well, let me put myself in the listener's shoes. But as I've said, that also comes with the responsibility of saying, hey, you're important. When I say that, I mean it. So there's resources if you're having a tough time right now. If you need some extra support right now with your mental health, there's links to organizations you could reach out to right now. There's also links to, we have a new sponsor that can help you. If you're looking for a more long-term relationship with a therapist, we have a new sponsor you could check out. And then it also means that the mental health of our members of our community matter. And Black mental health matters. Black lives matter. And what happened in Philadelphia to Walter Wallace just isn't okay. We really have to look at how we respond to mental health crises and how we as a society want to respond to that. So I have some links in the show notes to address that on a couple different levels. And you could just think about it. You know, this could be your chance to say, hey, what does all this empathy mean? Or for me, for privilege, like you say, well, I had a lot of trouble with alcohol and depression in the past, and I got a lot of extra chances that not everybody gets. And that is really a perfect example of privilege. So I just want to let you know that you're important and that the members of our community are important. And that's why this show exists. So thanks for listening. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to bring this podcast twice a week. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need to eat my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the loudest part of the podcast, the part that I need you to hear because it's where I celebrate the listeners who supported the sponsors. That's how I get to bring you this show for free, is the people that amplified their support. And I want to thank Brad, Sandra, and Maddie. As a family, they supported KiwiCo. Maddie's getting those Atlas crates every month, which I have to check out now. And then Brad and Sandra got a new Helix bed. Brad wanted everyone to know Brad is 6'8", and Brad was really happy with the mattress in his back. And then Brad also said, check out the 12, you can spread it out over 12 months through one of their partners. And that worked amazing. So thank you, Brad, Sandra, and Maddie, for supporting some sponsors and letting me know about it, letting the sponsors know about it. If you do that, try to tag them on social media, tag me, tag the sponsor, send them an email, give them a call, and let me know about it so I can thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need, whether it's to take care of your needs or the needs of the members of your community. If you're having a tough time right now, or you want to speak out on behalf of the lives of our members or our community, that Black mental health and Black lives matter, there's going to be links to organizations that can connect you with resources or resources for you to connect with. So that's the second part of Sleepy Supporter Zone, is you and our community getting the support, getting support. Now, the third part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is more something I support, and there's a new podcast out. I know a lot of listeners like the personal essay, where my kind of personal essay episodes become kind of fiction. And if that's the style of episode you want, I have a podcast for you to listen to in the daytime. It's called Appearances, and it's from Sharon Mashihi, Mermaid Palace and Radiotopia. And it's you want to start with the amazing prologue. And there's a lot for our listeners, I think, to connect with, or at least that I connected with. But if you want something that is really from the heart, and I mean from the heart in a good way and in a tough way, where you say, oh boy, this is searing and powerful, but also full of that kind of humor that comes from that place. And especially when you listen to the prologue, if you do, there's some really funny stuff in there on top of all of the emotional journey it takes you on. So let me know some of your favorite parts. But I also wanted to just use a couple things from the amazing prologue. I wanted to quote, the strange soup keeping me stuck, in quoting Sharon. You know, I say I want this thing, and yet I'm not taking the steps to get it. That's a paraphrase. So I have to ask myself, is there some part of me that doesn't want this thing I say I want? So if that doesn't get you involved, just listen. It's absolutely amazing. I'll have a link to it in the show notes, but it's Appearances. You could put it right into your podcast app right now. Appearances by Sharon Mashihi, and really renowned audio producer too, in Mermaid Palace and Radiotopia. So check it out wherever you consume your podcasts. Wherever you consume your podcast, check out Appearances. And I think that's it. What do you say? Oh, wait, no, credit. Wait, where am I? Oh, Mystery Bard. A lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
It's Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer, and Ashley.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
It's almost Christmas, y'all.
You can tell me the story. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. If you want to commission a song from Mystery Bard, go to song.jonathanmann.net. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, you know, thoughts on your mind, thoughts you're thinking about the past, the present, or the future, feelings or emotions coming up for you, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, whatever it is. I'm going to try to take your mind off of that and keep you company. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. Holy cow, am I going to go off? I'm going to get mixed up, go back. You say, did you say creaky dulcet tones? And I'd say, no, I did. I thought that's what I said. Creaky like a door, a dulcet like something sweet. It kind of balances one, like if it was too sweet, this is true actually, like if it was too sweet, it would be too sweet. You'd say, well, it's an hour of just dulcet tones. Oh no. That's not for everybody. The Double Dulcet Cast is a podcast I have not made, but I've thought about I tried to call it the Zippity Doodah Cast, but then they said you can't call it that. I tried to call it the super, super happy cast, but then I said, well, I guess I'd have to find a new host for that. What I'm going to do, send my voice. If you're new, I'm here to keep you company as you fall asleep is the shortest version. And I keep you company by never getting to the point, but let me go into it a little bit deeper. So if you're new, there's a few good things to know. If you're a regular listener, welcome back, by the way. I don't know what it is. You just, it's so good to see you. I don't know. There's something different about you. I hope you know. You're doing a good job, regular listener. Excuse me while I go to this. So anyway, if you're a new listener, though, thanks, regular listener. If you're new, there's a few things to know. One, this podcast is not for everybody, so give it a few tries. Almost every reviewer over, I don't even know how many people said, it took two or three tries. And some people even say they had a strong dislike, or much stronger than the word dislike of the show the first time they listened to it. And then for some reason, and I guess we could talk about that, they gave it another try, and then they said, oh, wait a second, I realized, I don't know, maybe I don't, like, a strong, so if you're having a strong reaction or you're doubtful, give the show a few tries. Really, got nothing to lose other than a little bit of time and see how it goes. So that's the one thing is I wish the show worked for everybody, I'll be honest. That'd be pretty cool because then everybody would get a good night's sleep because that's something I believe you deserve. So what was my point in here? I already got mixed up. So give a few tries. That's one thing if you're new. The other thing is while you give it a try, you don't need to try. Like this podcast is best consumed in an inactive way or low activity. Like, if you're trying to get the podcast to get started to put you to sleep or trying to make sense of it or trying to follow along or trying to see what I'm up to, you're going to be, it could be, it's better if you look at it like in a fuzzy way. Even though not, I'm, you know, creaky dulcet tones are not known to be fuzzy. Well, they are a bit fuzzy. Technically, yeah, you see, well, they are fuzzy. So just kind of view the podcast kind of in an out of focus, loose way, like sand sieving through your hands or see, you know, like if, you know, hand sand or water flowing through your hands, you can't, you say, well, okay, it kind of drained out and never formed anything. That's kind of how I form my words and my thoughts and my concepts. So that's another thing. The last thing is, this is a podcast you don't really need to listen to. Oh, no, that kind of goes with that. But, this is one of the few sleep podcasts that's not, I'm not here to put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. So that might be another reason why the podcast works in a little bit different manner. I'm here to be your bud, your boar sib, your boar cuz, your boar bae, your boar bestie, your boar bruh. Whatever it is, I'm here to keep you company as you fall asleep. So, I don't know, like to walk at your side. So that's another thing to know. The next thing is the structure can throw you. Oh, and if you're thrown off, like, and you say, well, that's a normal reaction. I think I kind of did normalize that, but I wanted to double normalize it. Because, yeah, say, well, the other thing that I don't like about your show, Scoots, initially, and I'd say, okay, that's totally fine. That's why I'm here to talk to you about it, is the structure of the show. It can throw new listeners off a lot. So I'm going to kind of tell you why, and maybe that still won't make it make sense, but just kind of hear me out, and then you can kind of adjust as needed. So show starts off with a greeting, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, so that I establish that everyone's welcome here. And that it's just I'm trying to create a safe place. So that's the first part. Then there's business. Believe it or not, that's what keeps the show coming out twice a week, is the business, which is like about 4, 5, 6 minutes or something. Then there's an intro. And the intro is about 12 to 18 to 20 to 19 to 17 to 15 to 13 minutes or so. And you see the introduction to the podcast, and I say, yeah, the intro, the introduction to the podcast. And it's kind of where I just, ideally it'd be really efficient. If it was a regular podcast, it would be efficient, right? I'd say, this is the Double Dulcet Cast, where we talk about something sweet and we talk about it again. And then it's actually not technically, like, we only call it the Double Dulcet Cast because then we talk about it in depth, in another way. And then we double your dulcet, and we do that all over again with something else. And today we're talking about smiling. Oh boy! For the next 30 minutes, we're talking about smiles. Here on Double Dulcet Cast, maybe that's what tonight's episode will be about. I think that's what it's going to have to be about now. That's interesting. Where was I? The Double Dulcet Cast. So talking about smiling. You know, you say, Scooch, you're going to be stretching. I say, oh, yeah, I'll be stretching that. Not a subject I have a good familiarity in. But actually, tonight we'll come back to that. Remind me of that one, because tonight we're talking about a textbook from childhood that I may have read before. And, what was I trying to tell you about, though? Oh, structure of the show. Oh, the intro. I already went off topic when I was trying to explain what the intro is, which is what happens in the intro. The idea of the intro is, if it was an efficient cast like the Double Dulcet Cast, they'd say, this intro is short and sweet, you know, because it's the Double Dulcet Cast. And that would end it after they said, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about it again. Then we'll talk about it this way. And that's, let's get on with the show. That would be the Double Dulcet Cast. Sleep With Me's intro serves kind of a dual purpose. It welcomes new listeners, triple purpose, maybe even more. But it welcomes new listeners, gives you kind of an idea what to expect, which is tough to adjust to the first time. Because usually it doesn't, everything I'm saying now won't make sense until you listen to it the third time. You say, oh, it never made any sense. So that's one purpose of the intro. The second purpose of the intro is that it feels like home to regular listeners. They say, whew. You know when you sigh out? And there's some sort of, you never hear about this. No one ever glorifies this type of sweat, relief sweat. Like, there's a type of sweat when you feel relief or that you notice after you're relieved. So I don't know if it's like the relief, if the sweat is related to the relief, or it's like, I was sweat, I didn't notice that sweat till I was relaxed. Because now I'm home. And that's another purpose of the intro is, it's different every time for the regular listener, but ideally there's that undercurrent. Here I am in a place where Scooch doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but he tries to create it. One day he'll have a podcast where he glorifies relief sweat. So that's the next purpose. And the third purpose is it gives listeners a chance to unwind and wind down, whether you're starting your wind down routine outside of bed or in bed. Because I personally start mine outside of bed and then I start winding down. So by the time I get in bed, then I have, like, it's just, this is something I've been trying out for the past, like, year or so. Or maybe less. But so, I don't know, for you, you could kind of discover it. Like, some listeners start it before they even brush their teeth while they're sitting on the couch or whatever. And then they bring their phone or they put it on, you know, they pick up on another device where they left off. So kind of see how it goes for you. Some listeners get in bed and they're getting comfortable. But the 12 to 20 minute intro, it gives us a little separation from the day. It lets you do relax and say, oh, yeah, I'm home now. Scooch is trying to create a safe place for me. So just see how it goes. And there is like a 2% of listeners that don't need that, to just skip right ahead to about 20 minutes and start playing the show there. So you could see how that goes. There's listeners that listen all night. Though normally I say, if you listen all night, there's no way for me to design a podcast, a free podcast, to listen to all night perfectly. So it's easier if you become a patron, just because it's just tough to design an 8-hour. It's just not feasible. But there are people that it works for. They just play it all night, or there's people that listen in 10-minute chunks. So you can kind of see as you go. But the intro is that it's a long corridor. You say, whoa, this is the longest entryway. And I say, oh, yeah, like, I really want you to know you've arrived. I call it the endless entryway. It does have an end. It's interesting. The end of the entryway is at the entrance. I guess it'd be the entry, like, the, if we called it the entryway, entryway, I would think there should be some ants, like those tree beings, waiting for you. Or they say, well, that's the opening, that's the entrance to the forest. We call it the entryway, where the ants enter. But how did I get so mixed up? Oh, the entrance entryway ends at the entrance. I guess that does make sense, but it ends at a beginning. And I guess that is the way this intro ends. Then there's some business. That's, again, how we keep the podcast coming out on a regular basis. And then there'll be not quite a story. I'll take a look at a textbook from high school that I had and see what I could recall from the authors and stuff in there. It was interesting because it was kind of a high school textbook. And you say, wow, this was from the 80s. It was kind of a limited purview of I say, wait a second, this is all but whatever. So I'll take a look at this textbook, and then there'll be some thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. And I mean, that's mostly it. Like, the reason I make the show is because I truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep, and that your world and our world will be a better place if you do get a good night's sleep. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, I've been there. I know how it feels, tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. I got all those issues. So if I can be here to help you, it'd be my pleasure. Like, I'm really would be honored to do so. So give it a few tries, kind of see how it goes. I really appreciate you coming by and checking out this podcast, this show. And I really hope, I really yearn and I strive, and I hope we can help you fall asleep. So thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody, I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's Scoots here, and we have another Did I Read This episode? And this one will probably maybe extended out over a few different episodes, so this is an interesting one. It also is a journey into my past. I guess is all Did I Read It episodes have been, or the one we've done. But this could also be called Adventures in Did I Read This? So let's see. Let me start the meander with, you listen to this podcast. You know I'm always on the eye. I always have my eye out for interesting things. I don't tend to be much of a collector, but I am always like, especially when I'm on the street and I see a box on the street or I'm at a flea market or like a used goods store. Garage sales. Those are all great places to find stuff for the podcast. And at some point, and I don't know which one of those things it was, I found I found one textbook from a high school. I'm assuming it's a high school textbook. It could have been a middle school textbook. And it caught my eye. And I said, wait a second, did we use that textbook in school at some point? And even when I, like, and this is no offense to my school system or whatever, but even when we had it in high school, it was dated. Not only was it well-worn, but very well-made. Textbook, construction-wise, this is a really well-constructed textbook. But even then, it was dated. And I mean, I don't even know about the content. I'm just talking about the cover. So that's another reason why I said, wait a second, I know that textbook from somewhere, and I still have not confirmed it. Maybe I sent a picture to some people I went to school with, but I picked it up and I said, oh, maybe one day my daughter and I could read some of the books from there. Also, I just remembered that I also found one from my grammar school. So I guess this could be a really ongoing series for sure. And we may have to, this is a very thick book, so we may have to break it up into many categories. What's interesting is I found it in California. I went to school in New York State, so it was definitely a national textbook. The front cover, as I'm holding it in my hand, it says Adventures in Reading. And then on the bottom right, it says Heritage Edition. And then the picture is of a long jumper. And like in the Winter Olympics, which is interesting. Maybe it'll be referred to in the book. Maybe it's a big story. And the long jumper is in a red snowsuit or whatever you call that, like a long jumping suit. His mouth is open, and he's long jumping. He's like doing that thing where you're like parallel with your skis. He's number 37 in Intersport. His suit is red. He has maroon mittens on, and his suit has some blue decorations on it. He has a dark blue hat on and white goggles and then dark red boots. So that's the cover. The side says Adventures in Reading Heritage Edition by Harcourt, Brace, and Jovanovic. And then the back says, it says the same thing, but it says Center for Curriculum Development. And when I open it, this book was, it doesn't have anybody's name in it. It just, it does have two dates that somebody wrote, like a due date that they checked it out from the library, July 1st, 1983 and July 8th, 1983, but it doesn't have any other identifying things on it. It just has a, so maybe it was a school library book. Because it just has a date due thing taped to the inside of the book. And then it has a blank stamp like you would fill out in school when you checked a book out. But it looks like this book was, it does have some drawing on it. So it was checked out to students at some point, but no one signed it out. And that says, like, this book's a property of state, province, county, parish, school district, other, book number, issued to, year used, condition, issued, returned. Mine was always, my textbooks always went through a hard time. Pupils who this textbook is issued to must not write on any page or mark any of it in any way. Consumable textbooks accepted. Teachers should see that the pupil's name, remember when they used to call students pupils. Yeah, clearly written in ink in the spaces above to every book issued. In every book issued, the following terms should be used in recording the condition of the book. New, good, fair, poor, or bad. I don't know how many textbooks my parents had to pay for. Okay, so this is the Adventures in Literature program. So this was like an English literature book. And this is a whole program. We only have one book, I think. Adventures for Readers, Book 1. There's a teacher's manual, a textbook, and a reading writing workshop A. This is not what we have. This is just an advert or like whatever. Adventures for Readers, Book 2. Teacher's manual, textbook, reading and writing workshop B. Oh, then Adventures in Reading. That's what we have. Teacher's manual, textbook, reading workshop A is C. Adventures in Appreciation, I could definitely use that adventure. A Teacher's Manual, Textbook, Reading, Writing Workshop, D. And then Adventures in American Literature, Test Manual, Test Booklet. And then Adventures in English Literature, Test Manual, Test Booklet. Then we get to the next page, which has a drawing across two pages. And it shows kind of like two or three cows and then two Roman-looking people, like a guarding. I don't know what they're doing. They have shields. They have different things, and the cows are eating grass, and one cow's looking at the two Roman guards, we'll say. And then it says, Curriculum and Writing, Fanny Safir, formerly teacher of English, New York City Schools, New York, New York, Center for Curriculum Development. Then it says, Adventures in Reading, a Heritage Edition. It has the company's little thing, Harcourt, Brace, and Jovanovic. New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Atlantis, Dallas, and London. Then it was copyrighted 1980. So I don't know what grade this was for, but I did not, it wasn't in, wait, was I in? Like it grew up in the 80s, but I don't think I used this book in the 80s. But we'll see. It says all rights reserved. So I'm not going to read very much from the book. I'm just going to use it as a, you know, what do I remember thing. And look at some of the pictures and stuff like that. Again, the 80s were not the same as things are now, or the 90s. So this book was probably in use, at least in where I grew up, in the 90s. It does look like it's high school level. Then it has all the acknowledgments of the stories from the book. That goes through there. Design and production, the cover. Oh, top European ski jumper, Willy Purtz, P-U-R-S-T-Z. Then it has a list of critical readers and contributors. Okay, and then it has the continents. And okay, I definitely read this in high school because I can remember already I'm seeing some very important and impacting books in people. Let's see. I wonder if we should. Wow, there's a lot in here. Okay, yeah, I remember this is high school. I remember the teacher who taught it. One of my favorite teachers who I did an episode about because I still owe him a letter of apology. He was a great, great teacher, Mr. Stabnik, I'll say, because he was one of my favorite teachers, even though I probably, at one point, he liked me, but then I kind of wasn't a great kid, I had a lot of angst and stuff, and when he tried to kind of mentor me, I kind of, wanted to be left alone, even though it wasn't me, so... But I definitely have positive memories of this in a lot of these stories. So this would have been for me freshman year of high school, maybe, or sophomore year of high school. Well, probably freshman year as I'm looking at some of these stories. Because we did, the other thing was I can see, multiple of these stories me and my friends made movies of. So I feel like, and now I'm getting this is interesting. So there's short stories and they cover different things like plot, character, points of view, setting, theme, practice in reading and writing, then nonfiction, and essays, practice in reading and writing, biography and personal recollection, poetry, diction, imagery, figurative language, sound patterns, structures, tone, types of poetry, lyric, narrative, dramatic, practice in reading and writing, then drama, practice in reading and writing, Romeo and Juliet, then practice in reading and writing, then an epic poem, then a couple other maybe epic poems, then a novel, then a guide to literary terms and techniques, and that's it. And then it opens with a little thing about short stories. So study of short stories, I'm trying to paraphrase, begins with plot, organized patterns of events in the story. Sometimes it's simple, as in our first story, which Scooter mistakenly, which already lead to a couple tangents. And then sometimes the plot's more complicated and maybe more than one action to follow. Occasionally, a plot is structured to lead to a surprise at the end, like a story very similar to Emmett Otter's, the story that Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas was based on. Some stories, the plot is the most important element, and readers keep reading to find out what will happen next. But in most stories, characters are characters versus plots. Generally, a story focuses on a main character. That's not always the case. Another element is point of view. Point of view is like a camera in a movie. It lends through you that you, the reader, view the action. There's a first-person point of view from the central character in the story. Some are told from a third-person point of view, as if it was seen by an objective observer. Still other stories are told by an omniscient... is an omniscient, all-knowing narrator who tells not only what happens, but also what the characters think and feel. Also, short stories have a setting, a time and place of action. Some are out there, like our first story, or others are more regular, like a neighborhood. Finally, short stories do more than excite or amuse. That's a quote. They have themes, an idea about life. Occasionally, a theme is expressed directly through the author, but generally it's not directly stated and must be inferred through other elements. And all the short stories in this unit are examples of the short stories art. As you explore basic elements, you'll gain skills to help you read the other stories with greater insight and enjoyment. Okay, and this was definitely the beginning of the school year, I think. And the story is 15 or 16 pages. And the story is called... So I accidentally, once upon a time, titled an episode, I think it was Nuns in Space, Season 1, with the title of the story. And it was one of the lowest performing episodes of that era because of the title of the story, and I didn't realize it. And this is after I've been doing the podcast for like 3 or 4 years. And more recently, this has become more, at least in, what is the year, 2020, there's a... was a revival of this, and there's a revival every couple of years. This comes into a different artistic take on this story, and it's by Richard Connell, I believe, and it's called the Watch Your Step game. Is one way to say the title of it. Also, there's many other ways you could say it, but that's just the way I'll say it here. Because it's interesting that it was the first story, because what happened was, I don't know if we read it at the beginning of the school year or not, but right after we read this story, so we were still, even though I was a freshman in high school, me and my friends still played a lot. We didn't necessarily play with toys at this point. Maybe we kind of did. But we definitely did. One activity we did was we'd go over to my friend Charlie's house and we'd shoot movies. He had a camcorder. And we'd make movies a lot. And that actually continued over a few years. And so we made a movie based on this. And actually, I don't know if I was there for it, because I can remember watching it, but I'm not exactly sure if I was there when they made this, because I don't remember being there. I definitely remember watching the movie. So maybe I'm just like thinking of it. We made other movies in this time frame all the time. Or maybe we shot it over a couple weekends and... Charlie was normally the one that ran everything. I would do basic acting if I was there. But I remember covering the basic elements of this or watching the movie. Like there was a banquet scene, there's running in the woods type stuff. And there was like a over the top rich guy stuff. So this is a book about... we don't need to get into the plot. Let's go to the questions, though, because it's like a story, and I just, let's do there's pictures, too, or drawings. So there's one, the first drawing is of like a tropical island and someone sleeping near the shore. There's also a lot of definitions. A chateau is a castle, a large country home. Astrakhan. Is the curled fur of young lambs, gargoyle, we kind of know what that is. Purdy is a famous English manufacturing company. Let's see, debacle. We kind of know what debacle is. Sometimes I have my own mini debacles. The second scene is like two people have dining in a fancy dining room with candles and a lot of things on the walls, maybe a bit like a lodge. Au revoir, right? Is that how you say that? Until we meet again. That's in French. Then there's like two people hiding out in different ways. That's another drawing, playing hide and seek. Yeah, that's what this book's about, is playing hide and seek, or this story. Then Madame Butterfly, an opera by Puccini and Marcus Aurelius, Roman emperor 161 to 180. Okay, so for study or discussion, Let's see. So this tells a story between two main characters or two characters. Why would their struggle be less interesting if they were from different, if they had different careers? Two part of the stories tell what's to come. A discussion on the ship between two characters and their observations. And then with a see and hear as one of them goes for a swim to the chateau. How do these episodes hint at what's coming? And this is paraphrasing. It's not just because if you say the Scoots, that's not what they said in the book. Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's discussions. Some of the discussions are important for two reasons. They provide information about what's coming up, and they provide a contrast between the characters. What information is provided? What is the contrast? I wonder if we had to, we probably had to answer these questions. But these are good for class discussion, I think. I mean, this is, like, I definitely liked reading these stories, and we probably read them out loud in class, too. Talk about some of the unfolding events in the story, and how did you feel? Near the end of it, one character takes action. What is that action? That would be interesting when you read it in class, and then they ask, what is that action? And people would just be like, I don't know. It'd be like, because you were just not paying attention at all. That happened to me multiple times, mostly in math, though. Why do you think the author changes the point of view at this point in the story? The conversation at the beginning of the story reveals one of the character's attitudes. Do you think his attitude changes course in the story? Give evidence to support your answer. Okay, and this is something I always talk about when people talk about the podcast, is like CONFLICT, because it's important even in a bedtime story podcast. Important element in stories, novels, and plays. It's dealing with two different forces going in different directions or points of view. May take place between individuals and non-sentient beings or some natural force. I'd say it could be even, it's even more than that. It's conflicts, sometimes there's external conflicts and sometimes there's internal ones. The most obvious one in this book is between the two characters. Are there other ones? Are there any internal ones? Then it talks about suspense and foreshadowing, building interest through a story. This is interesting because this is the kind of stuff that I think this is the kind of education and understanding that I think is really important. I don't know if, I guess my daughter's not in high school, but to think about, oh, these are the elements of stories. And I guess this really impacted the podcast. Again, this is a great teacher and a great class. So the quality, the readers want to know what happens next. The author creates suspense about one of the characters. Sometimes they plant clues earlier in the story to hint about what will come later. The planting of those clues is called foreshadowing. So how is a major action of this story foreshadowed? How does the foreshadowing help create suspense? Really good. This is, let's see. Sometimes you may be able to derive the definition of an unfamiliar word by using context clues. This is language and vocabulary, or supplied by other words. So the one thing said, the appointments were of the finest, the linen, crystal, the silver. The word appointments, means equipment or furnishings, and you can see that in the context. Use context clues to try to identify these. When he looked up from his plate, he found the other person studying him, appraising him narrowly. His hands were closed as if there was something tangible that someone was trying to take from his grip, something tangible. So those are a couple. Then for composition, most of the suspense in this story is related to the external conflict, and the reader wants to know what's going to happen. Write a paragraph that could have been part of a longer story. So this maybe was where we got the movie idea from. I don't remember much about the movie other than a couple of sequences. introduce something that comes up and creates some suspense about the outcome. You may also, you may write about something external or internal, nature, people, whatever it is. And then about the author. So Richard Connell, 1893 to 1949, began writing at an early age. My first writing was in the newspaper. My father edited in Poughkeepsie, New York. I covered basketball games. I was 10 years old, got $10 a game. Went to Harvard, wrote for the Daily Crimson and the Lampoon. After college, worked in New York City for a newspaper, then advertising, and then in 1919, he went freelance. Once estimated, he sold about 300 short stories to magazines and wrote several novels and many screenplays, but this is the best-known story. It has appeared in numerous anthologies and been adapted many times. Okay, so this goes into Did I Read It? The next story is called The Lady or the Forest Friend, Tony, the forest friend that's on Serial, T-I-G-E-R. And the only reason I kind of remember this story, I have no idea what the story is, but I think this is one of those stories where it doesn't end and you're supposed to, you imagine how it ended. But that's only, my memory may be fragmented. It's by Frank R. Stockton. I'm not going to read through the story. There is a vocabulary word, amphitheater. There's one picture of what looks like people in like Roman or Grecian garb discussing things, and it's not as long as the other story. But let's see if we can, let's go into the study or discussions, because I really don't remember this, other than that maybe we were supposed to imagine how it ended. I'm just trying to imagine what our assignment was in class, or we were supposed to write our own version. But let's see. So I was right. The author kind of challenges you to guess the outcome of the story. From what you know of the princess, but I still don't remember, which do you think she would point to? The lady or the Tony the forest friend? At one point, you're told the solution to the question lies in understanding the nature of the princess. Think of it, fair reader, as not as if a decision of the question depended upon yourself, but upon the princess. Does the answer lie within the story or in the individual reader? Okay, and then they talk about plot, sequence of events or actions in a story, whatever the characters do, whatever they say, whatever happens, whatever they think, and what happens to them. Often, before the plot begins, there's a section of exposition. The exposition is an introduction. Heavy sleep podcasts are heavy on exposition. It presents information and it helps readers understand the situation of the story. In The Lady or the Forest Friend Named Tony, the T-I-G-E-R, the exposition is given in the first 8 paragraphs. What information is provided? The action of the story generally evolves out of C-O-N-F-L, is it external or internal? Or what ones are presented of both in the story? What is the central one? Complications are introduced that make it difficult. What complications does Stockton introduce into his story, and how do they add interest? As the story becomes more complicated, it moves to a climax. Climax is the highest point in the story. And that determines the outcome. What is the climax of the story? And then the final part of the story is resolution. As resolution moves down from the high point, it usually settles the conflict. How do they handle the resolution? The plots of many stories follow this pattern. Exposition, conflict, complications, climax, resolution. If you've already read the first story in this book, identify those points in the story. Irony. There's several kinds of irony. All of them depend on a contrast between appearance and reality. A very common kind is verbal irony, which is a way of saying or writing one thing and meaning the opposite. If you're cold and you say, "Oh, it's what a lovely day," you're being ironic. Writers often try to use irony for unpleasant things or characters, by trying to pretend that you're taking them at face value, the writers are trying to make you see what they're really like. They use the term poetic justice in an ironic way in this story, hoping the readers will understand that. In order to understand a writer's irony, we first must decide what the facts really are, or if the way things seem, are they different? Explain why each of the following statements is ironic. If the irony is not clear, reread each statement. In this one, people are refined and cultured. Perfect fairness is obvious. Find other ironic statements in the story. Okay, here's the composition. They leave it up to you to decide what happens. Write your own version of the ending. So probably we did that. I don't remember, right? I mean, I kind of remember it. To make your ending effective, you might want to show you, so do that. So yeah, at some point I'll reread this and then say, because I really don't remember it at all, other than it's like some choice. Let's see. Frank Stockton was born in Philadelphia, 1834 to 1902. His parents thought he would be a doctor. He became a wood engraver in 67. So when he was 34, he began to put more and more time to writing and engraving. And then he's contributed to children's stories, to magazines, then started writing for adult magazines. And the most famous story, Lady or the Forest Friend Named Tony, the T-I-G-E-R, appeared in 1882 in Century Magazine. And it caused a great sensation. So, you know, I'm going to pause and just read the beginning of the story and then see if it triggers anything for me. Okay, so I read the story and I do remember it now. It has a couple of good layers to it. It has a king who's very solutions oriented with everything else. And then he has a simple form of justice that he thinks is fair, but it's more based on randomness. Yeah, then he wants to get in the way of his daughter's romantic relationship, and he complicates it in a way that's like a total lose-lose situation for his daughter and more or less for her boyfriend. But then the last layer is really where it's brilliant, because the person has to randomly choose, okay, if I go through door on the left or door on the right, and on the door on the left is a portal where you'd go live in somewhere else forever. For example, the big farm, and you'd be relaxed there. And the other door is like, hey, you'll have this other opportunity to move somewhere else and have a life with this, go have a career in a relationship somewhere else. And so it's just interesting that the daughter gives a secret sign, and that's kind of the really where the last level. It's like, well, is she telling him, which way is she telling him to go? Does she want him to be happy or just move away, kind of? So that's pretty cool. The third book is the third story is by someone that has had a great influence on this podcast through their novels, which is Kurt Vonnegut. And this one's called Tom Edison's Shaggy Dog. And they also have, there's also Thurber in here. And I kind of feel like they're like in other humorists of this era. So it's Tom Edison's Shaggy Dog. And it has two people sitting on a bench, one person in a suit trying to read a book. And then another guy like with a Hawaiian shirt and clashing pants and red shoes, talking up a storm, kind of like an airplane thing, like where the person that sits next to you won't stop talking to you, and the dog is licking the guy's knee, ankle. And I don't think I remember this story yet. Let's see, it mentions Horace Greeley, Henry Ford. wizard. Edison was known as the Wizard of Menlo Park. Then it shows like two kids conducting like a measurement, electronic measurements on a dog's ears. And this is so I don't remember this story though. It's probably because of the next one, but so let's go to the study. A Shaggy Dog story is a joke that spun out of a long rambling tale. My gosh, I'm going to read this word for word. The Shaggy Dog story is a joke that spun out to a long rambling tale. It is intended to lead the listener and generally involves absurd, unreal events. What is the Shaggy Dog story? So I have to read this one, but not right now. At what point does Bullard begin to realize that he's being taken in? What is the joke the stranger pulls? This is interesting. A story within a story. This is what Vonnegut taught me later, a couple of years later, maybe a year, maybe this was later this year, when I first read Hocus Pocus. Story within a story. Sometimes an author chooses to tell a story within the framework of another story. This is a big part of Sleep With Me. In its simplest form, the framework can introduce a group of people discussing a particular topic and say, oh yeah, that reminds me of this story. Then the inner story begins. In such a story, the inner story is usually the much more important one. In other stories, that just reminds me of the Thurber story, The Night with the Bed. But that's one of his famous, because he's coming up next. In other stories, the framework plays a more important role. For example, in this story, it's two stories that are equally important. The framework story and the story within a story reinforce one another, and each story adds a meaning to the other one. In what way are the framework story and the inner story related, and how does the story... So then there's allusions. One of Bullard's mannerisms is his transformation of well-known sayings to suit his own beliefs. So he changes Horace Greeley's famous statement, "Go west, young man, go west," to "Go Adam, young man." Vonnegut depends on the reader recognizing that, which would have been tough. To appreciate the humor of the revision, one needs to know the original. Here are some other well-known sayings that appear. Opportunity knocks only once. Darkest before dawn. Dogs, man's best friend. Let sleeping dogs lie. For composition, write an imaginary narrative of how was the wheel invented, or imagine some other invention, or treat your narrative as a shag. I don't remember doing this, so maybe we skip this story. Kurt Vonnegut was from Indianapolis, went to Cornell, Carnegie Institute of Technology, and the Universities of Tennessee and Chicago. He was in Dresden, which he wrote about in his books, Mother's Night and The House of Five. He has a bunch of other well-known books, Cat's Cradle, Siren's Edition, Breakfast of Champions. He's published more than 100 short stories, many of them science fiction. Tom Edison's Shaggy Dog is from Welcome to the Monkey House, a collection of his stories. So that's one. Then the next one, so I definitely remember reading this next story because which is interesting because I guess from freshman year to adulthood and even into adulthood, I have read a decent amount of Thurber, but I've read much more Vonnegut than Thurber, though they're very, they're not very, there's some of their sensibilities are similar. But I'm not an expert. But so this book, and this is, was made into a movie like in the last 5 years, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And there's never been a fictional character that I ever identified with more, especially at the time. I was like, this is who I am. So it just came at the exact time. I was like, this is what my life is like. I live in my head most of the time. And if you haven't read the short story, I highly recommend it. It's by James Thurber, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And in some sense, I still live this way. And there's some, let's see, there's like some pictures. There's one of Walter Mitty driving, and he's imagining like he's like fixing some, he's using it. It looks like he's using a pen to fix some sort of equipment to help somebody. And everyone is cheering him on and amazed. And he's like, man, I'm smooth, like as I fix this thing. Let's see, there's Coles to Newcastle, a saying that is used to indicate unnecessary work. Newcastle is a famous city for coal production. Carbonundrum, initiative and referendum. Carborundum is a hard brace of material. Initiative, like, is a citizens introducing new legislation. Referendum refers to the right of the citizens to vote on the laws. The association in Mitty's mind is one of sound, not of sense. Then there's another picture of Mitty kind of sitting on his easy chair and imagining himself a hero, a dashing hero, and people looking on and him saying, okay, I'm going to dash to heroes. Circus, Opéra de ma blonde is a French song. Inscrutable, that's a good SAT word for inscrutable, unknowable or mysterious. INSCRUTABLE. Okay, so this is the discussion part, study or discussion. Walter Mitty, contrasts Walter Mitty's life with his secret life. Why does he feel he wants to escape from his real life? Each of his daydreams is sparked by some detail from everyday life, like where what he drives past. Explain how his daydreams grow of actual events. What kind of person, what kind of people does Mitty surround himself with? The final incident shows Walter Mitty dreaming himself like in the last act of heroism. How is this, but also not like, he's got a certain mentality. Is this final daydream of Mitty an adequate summing up of the story? Why or why not? Readers have found the secret life of Walter Mitty both funny and SAD. How is it both funny and SAD? And then the stuff they want to teach us here, one is direct and indirect characterization. A writer can develop and reveal a character through physical description, through action, through thoughts, feelings, and speeches, through comments and reactions of other characters, through direct statements, giving the writer's opinion of the character. The first four methods are indirect methods of characterization. They show or dramatize the character. The last method is direct characterization. It tells rather than dramatizes. Within a single passage, the author may use both direct and indirect. Thurber uses three of these methods to develop the characterization of Mitty. Tell which ones he uses in examples. Dramatic irony. Irony contrasts the real with what only seems to be real. A writer may say one thing and mean another. This is a kind of irony, which was discussed on page 24, verbal irony. Another kind of irony is dramatic irony. Dramatic irony contrast depends on the difference between the characters and what the readers know. Mitty has a fantasy about, you know, being a hero, but they know that it's not true. Find other examples of dramatic irony. Language and vocabulary. Recognizing mock jargon. Jargon is a special language for a group of people, especially people in the same job, like engineers, lawyers, carpenters, doctors. Often such language is necessary to communicate complex ideas, but sometimes, you know, they need it to, they use it just to impress people. Incomprehensible speech. This book pokes fun at the jargon of groups. Can you find other examples of mock jargon? I definitely remember this. I don't remember the sequel, but write a sequel to this book. And they kind of lead you, let Mitty have one more daydream of glory. Show how a detailed voice sparks that daydream. At the end of the story, have it be interrupted. Or if you like, write a short story about another character. Right, that's right, what I did. And then James Thurber, 1894 to 1961, achieved success as a writer and a cartoonist. He's one of America's most highly regarded humorists. I mean, his short stories are so funny. I mean, holy moly. The Night the Bed Fell. What's the one about his coat? The Night the Bed Fell is probably, I would start with that one. And that might be one of the more famous ones, too. He's one of America's, part of his success lies in being funny and serious at the same time. His writings and drawings are populated with people trying to cope with modern life and puzzled, compassionate dogs who observe things. Grew up in Columbus, Ohio, Ohio State University. Later wrote about the early years in a book, My Life in Hard Times. I wrote for newspapers in Columbus, Paris, New York. Worked on the staff of New Yorker magazine and was associated with the New Yorker for the rest of his life as an editor, then a writer. Essays, cartoons, and stories for the magazines, and became one of the best-known contributors. Much of his work is collected in books some really great books. And he wrote about, he also did like nonfiction. Like he has this great series about soap operas that I think are really informative about podcasting. He's collaborated on plays, and some of his best satire appears in, Fables of Our Time and Further Fables, and he's also wrote children's books like The 13 Clocks. Okay, the next one, I have no idea. All the Years of Her Life, that's by Morley Callahan. And it has a person standing in front of a shop window with his arms crossed in a suit. Then it has a close-up picture of a woman. Then it has a woman sitting at a table drinking tea with a younger person looking on. So let me just see, did I read this? For study or discussions, there's two major characters in the story, Alfred and his mother. Who's the main character? I don't remember. One way is to identify the climax. Looks like Alfred got caught doing something he wasn't supposed to. And is Alfred understanding his mother for the first time? Talk about what person Alfred is. What methods does Callahan use? How does Alfred's mother handle Mr. Carr? So maybe he took something from the local five and dime type store. Alfred's mother is mainly seen through Alfred's eyes. How does his understanding of his mother change? Then it talks about the lesson from it is static and dynamic characters. Characters in fiction are also often static or dynamic. Static is stay the same, dynamic change in some way. Alfred changes in this story. At that moment, his youth seemed to come to a close or something. I'm kind of paraphrasing. Does that change make Alfred a better person? Is Walter Mitty a static or dynamic character? Well, that's a good question. What about characters in the game? For composition, create a dominant impression. Alfred begins to understand his mother's inner nature as he watches her pouring herself a cup of tea. She's a little bit down. Note how Callaghan creates a single impression of Alfred's mother through careful selection of details and well-chosen modifiers and verbs, which words are particularly effective, and then it wants you to do that. Morley Callaghan was born in Toronto, went to the University of Toronto, and then Osgoode Law School. Between college and law school, worked as a reporter, met Ernest Hemingway, who encouraged him to write. First short stories were in literary magazines, then larger magazines like The New Yorker. Also included in a lot of best short story collections. So that's kind of interesting. And I guess I didn't realize that that would take up so much. Like, that's only 45 pages I read through of like 600 books. So I'll try to figure out a different method for next time I'm going through this. But that was interesting. And yeah, like I said, a couple of those books, stories definitely had a main impact. And I'll read a couple of the other ones for my own pleasure. Thanks and good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. Wade, Stacy, and Rachel, thanks, and good night. Aaron, Kayla, and Icy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jenny, Manda, and Liz, thank you, thanks, and good night. Peg, Mary, and Warren, thank you, thanks, and good night. Ashley, Bruce, and Carrie, thank you, thanks, and good night. Catherine, Neil, and Gunner, thanks, and good night. Leticia, Abigail, and Ryan, thank you, thanks, and good night. Amy, Ruth, and Ray, thank you, thanks, and good night. Lindsay, Cody, and Caitlin, thank you, thanks, and good night. Renee, Rhiannon, and Christine, thanks, and good night. Lorna, Patrick, and Toppy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Cameron, Lauren, and Amy, thanks, and good night. Shannon, Allison, and Dana, thank you, thanks, and good night. Sean, Erica, and Llama, thanks, and good night. Tam, Greg, and Cassie, thanks, and good night. Kira, Catherine, and Kathy, thanks, and good night. Charlotte, Sarah, and Sammy, thanks, and good night. Celine, Dagny, and Mel, thanks, and good night. Mateo, Jan, and Blake, thanks, and good night. Erica, Nikki, and Maureen, thanks, and good night. Abby, Linda, and Marissa, thank you, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show, either directly on Patreon or supporting our sponsors, so we keep coming out twice a week. And we exist as a free podcast because the listeners who spread the word about the show as well. So it's a free way to help the show. And speaking of spreading the word, here's something I wanted you to know about. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff, what was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelik. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.